It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. One person sustained injuries when a vehicle caught on fire near Arrowhead Trailer Court over the weekend. At about 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, dispatchers received a report of a fire at Arrowhead Trailer Court on Sawmill Creek Road. One ambulance and one fire engine with eight firefighters responded to the scene, where they found a Ford Explorer on fire. One person was transported to Mount Edgecombe Medical Center with burn injuries. Sitka Fire Department Chief Craig Warren said that firefighters were able to significantly reduce the fire in about 3 minutes. The vehicle was totaled and a nearby trailer sustained minor damage. Warren said the department is investigating the cause of the fire. Wrangell is one step closer to selling its old former hospital, the Wrangell Medical Center. The borough says the prospective buyer, Wayne Johnson, plans to demolish the building to construct housing units on the property and six lots next to it. KSTK's Colette Czarnecki has more.
Wayne Johnson has a history of developing housing units in Georgia, and he's interested in expanding his development projects to Wrangell. He's made frequent trips to Alaska throughout the years, first visiting Wrangell last fall. While at Wrangell's Friends of the National Rifle Association auction, he met interim borough manager Mason Villarma.
I met him and got to talking with him about his profession and just career. It seemed like an interesting guy, so we started chatting and served as Undersecretary of Education during the Bush administration.
Villarma says he was interested in Johnson's past experiences and was impressed with his portfolio.
Then we talked about some of his real estate deals, and so he had experience in renovating like projects and has done other development.
In that conversation, Villarma mentioned Wrangell's old hospital that's been on the market since 2022. That conversation sparked an interest, and Villarma says he and Johnson talked every day until they reached a deal. Johnson says Wrangell quickly grew on him during his visit. He and his wife leased a cabin in Wrangell this winter and plan to be here off and on.
I'm interested in Wrangell, and this gives me a meaningful reason to be engaged on a continuous basis with Wrangell.
When he heard about the available property, he thought it could benefit the Wrangell community.
My vision at this moment is to explore how we can create a meaningful level of multi-generational housing.
Villarma says the community could experience a broad range of benefits if Johnson makes the purchase and turns it into housing. He says residents would be close to downtown and its businesses.
We know that housing is a huge issue in this community. I think we're still ahead of the game and across the region when you think about Alder Topsail and the potential for this. But it will certainly help with accommodating that.
Villarma says the city and borough has been spending $85,000 to $100,000 a year to keep the building maintained enough so it can be sold.
That's a pretty big bill for nothing. And so we're bleeding in that way, stranded asset. And then if we didn't sell it, it'd probably cost us about a couple million. Of course, the private sector could demolish it cheaper because they don't have to pay out prevailing wage, but we do. So $2 million, and that's something we just can't afford.
Johnson intends to purchase the building for $200,000, far below the appraised value of $830,000. But the six adjacent lots will be sold at the appraised value. Villarma says Johnson plans to construct 2 to 3 story buildings for housing units with covered parking. So far, the borough's Economic Development Board and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended the assembly approve the sale. Kate Thomas is Wrangell's Economic Development Director. She says the Economic Development Board reviewed the sale from the perspective of an economic benefit for the community.
In my opinion, as stated in the report, it is in the borough's interest to sell the land and move forward with this project, or conveyance rather, of the land from the borough to Mr. Johnson.
The final approval of the sale for the building and the adjacent six lots is tentatively planned for the April 9th Borough Assembly meeting. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Czarnecki.
In Juneau, a technology that typically listens for volcanic eruptions and nuclear explosions will now be used to keep track of avalanches. The new system on Thane Road picks up on low-frequency rumblings of snow coming down off the mountains, sounds that are usually undetectable to the human ear. As KTOO's Anna Canny reports, listening to those rumbles will help the Alaska Department of Transportation make the roadway safer.
On a sunny February afternoon by the roadside of Thane Road, Scott Havens opens the door of a nondescript white metal box to reveal a jumble of computer equipment.
A lot of cables. So yeah, this is our data logger. And this is our communication cube, which talks to our data logger. And this is what we are here down here installing.
Then he points to the steep snow-covered slope of Mount Roberts across the road.
As the avalanche is coming down, it's going to create that rumble that we're picking up.
Humans can't hear most of the rumbling that's generated by the snow coming down off the mountain because it's infrasound, a kind of sound that's too low frequency for our ears to pick up. It can only be heard when it's sped up, like this. That's an avalanche at a ski resort in Utah, where Havens has already installed an infrasound detection system. His company, Snowbound Solutions, is pioneering infrasound technology for avalanche detection. Similar detection systems have already been used to keep track of volcanic eruptions and illegal nuclear weapons tests across the world. But all kinds of things produce infrasound. On Thane Road, the challenge is distinguishing between sounds from helicopters, cruise ships, and the humming of power lines.
Like, we're picking up this car that's coming by us. So we can hear it as it's moving through the atmosphere. It's emitting infrasound.
Which sounds like this. The system sorts out sounds by pinpointing their locations. The infrasound detection boxes are arranged in triangles at the base of different avalanche paths along Thane Road. Each triangle is called an array.
The array works a lot like your ears. So as the sound moves across the array, you can differentiate where the sound is coming from, because it'll arrive at each of those sensors at a different time.
And when the sound can be traced to somewhere up the slope in an avalanche start zone, an automatic alert will be sent to people like Pat Dreyer, an avalanche program specialist for the Alaska Department of Transportation. Dreyer says hearing avalanches is crucial because you often can't see them. Most avalanches don't make it all the way down to the road. They happen high up in the mountains where storms can cloud visibility, or they happen at night.
We're assuming that avalanches are occurring, or we're predicting that they're occurring, but not having that positive feedback loop that something is happening.
Dreyer says that over time, the records they build of when avalanches happen and in what weather conditions will help them to improve their avalanche forecasting.
We can start to make some assumptions or even predictions of when they'll occur in the future so that we can better refine our methods for managing that hazard or closing the roadway.
More data will also help Havens to refine the technology so that it's possible to identify an avalanche not just by its location, but by its distinct infrasound signal. Avalanche infrasound does have a kind of recognizable rumble, like this. But the signal still varies a lot based on the type of avalanche and its size. Haven says that all the avalanche infrasound samples gathered in Juneau and elsewhere could be used to train artificial intelligence systems that could recognize avalanches within seconds. And in the future, he says, infrasound detection could even be used to listen for things like rockfalls and landslides, too. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Petersburg's school district received national recognition earlier this month for bringing in more local flavor to its kitchens. Carly McIntosh Johnson oversees Petersburg School District's food program. She spent the last half year using a $100,000 USDA grant to put more locally sourced food on the menu. She says the district partners with the Petersburg Indian Association to put traditional foods on the menu. McIntosh Johnson said it was a hit with the students.
They liked it. They really liked the herring eggs. We ended up having it on the salad bar for the rest of the week, so that was really fun. Kids would put it on their salad. And then the salmon, the leftover salmon we served after school in, like, salmon salad sandwiches, which was really fun. And then the mousse, we had it as taste testings during lunch with the mousse gravy, and we cut the mousse roast down to little squares, so that was kind of fun.
McIntosh Johnson says the other part of the award recognizes her team's effort to create original recipes and cook more school meals from scratch. She says it was a challenging switch, but she thanks her staff for being open to new ideas and for being entirely along for the ride.
You are doing amazing jobs. You guys are doing, because I might be the one behind the scene pushing them to do this, but they're the ones physically doing it. I like to stay in the background. I like to hide. But I really think it's great for my staff to get the recognition, more so than myself.
The Healthy Meals Incentive Recognition Awards were created by the USDA and the national nonprofit organization Action for Healthy Kids. Rob Bizegli is the president of Action for Healthy Kids. He says Petersburg School District jumped out at him during the selection process for the award because of the depth of the program's community involvement.
And so the work that they're doing is around making sure that they're recognizing the voices of their students and their families and incorporating culturally appropriate food items into their menu and making sure that they're addressing all kinds of other local issues that really pertain to what they experience in Alaska. So it's a pretty exciting program, actually.
Bizegli says each Healthy Meals Incentives Award winner is invited to attend a summit in the coming months, where they'll share their best practices and be recognized for their efforts. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.